Thank you. We come again to our studies in the book of Romans, and we have just finished in our last lesson this amazing passage, this basic passage in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, 21 to 31. And we found in our last lesson that the righteousness of God was displayed at the cross. When our Savior died, He vindicated the righteousness of God. That is, He satisfied all the divine character for you and for me. A sacrifice which avails, and again I say, which satisfies. Man couldn't provide anything. God has provided the remedy. And the question goes on to say, how can a righteous God pronounce guilty sinners righteous? Because our Lord, as I say, satisfied all the divine character for you and for me. And then you go on down to verse 26 and 27, and we found it's only received one way, and that's by faith, not of works. He justifies those who believe. He doesn't justify anybody else. Hence, all human boasting is excluded. And this righteousness is outside of the law, absolutely. And the conclusion he comes to in verses 28 and 31 is that there is only one God, all men are guilty, hence he would only have one way of salvation. How else can a person be justified but by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Apostle Paul here rules out the law and circumcision as having any part in this blessed work of salvation. And the question is raised, then you make void the law through faith. The last verse of the chapter. No, says Paul, we establish the law. The law is upheld the faith way. Faith does not cancel the law. The law was established by the execution of the penalty. All its demands were met when Jesus died for you and for me. No wonder we can sing again, and I don't mind repeating that blessed verse, that song, we need no other argument, we need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. But now we come to chapter 4 of the book of Romans, and the question is raised at the end of chapter 3, do we have the right kind of faith? That's a good logical question. If in chapter 3 he has concluded that the only way one can be fitted for the presence of God is by, on the ground of grace through faith, not by works, not by ceremonies, but by simple faith, the question is raised then, do I have the right kind of faith? It'd be terrible, would it not, if we had the wrong kind of faith? And remember, in chapter 3, he declares righteous the sinners who believe, not the saints who believe, but the sinners who believe. And so we have here in chapter 4, if I may use the term, this justification is not by works, it's not by ceremonies, and then when you come to the end of the chapter, he gives us the sample, justifying faith. Now in the first 16 verses of the chapter, there is given to us Old Testament witness concerning the fact that righteousness is always received by faith, no other way. May I repeat that? The apostle takes the Old Testament and proves to us from Adam right down to the cross that nobody has ever stood before God justified except by faith, never on the ground of works, never on the ground of ceremonies. Now in the first 5 verses, we have Abraham given to us, this one who was the father of all believers. What kind of faith did he have? This is what we want to discuss in chapter 4, and I would like to read the first 5 verses. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now here you have this question of Abraham. You remember in Galatians chapter 3 we read, those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Our Lord said, for example, in Luke chapter 19, concerning Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, because he is a child of Abraham. In the book of John chapter 8, the Jewish leader said, we have Abraham for our father. Jesus said, I know you are the seed of Abraham, but if you were the children of Abraham, you would believe me. So you have Abraham given to us as an illustration as to how one is justified. Now look at verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. No works of man can stand before God. What did Abraham in the flesh find? He found that all that the flesh stood for could not stand in the presence of God. If it were by works, he would be able to glory in what he had done. But the impossibility of glorifying before God. You know, I thought about, what would heaven be like if men got there by their good works? Huh? Why, they'd be boasting all through eternity what they have done. God wouldn't get any glory at all. It's not me plus Jesus. It's not Jesus plus me. He did the whole thing. He satisfied God, as we had in chapter 3. And the only thing you could do, my friend, if you're going to be the recipient of his wonderful grace, if you're going to be justified before God, it can never be done on the ground of works. In Romans, you'll notice, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, quite often someone says to me, but Mr. Mitchell, there must be a conflict here. In the book of Romans, Abraham is justified by faith without works. In the book of James, chapter 2, Abraham was justified by his works. Now, which one is right? Some of the old-timers I speak now, some of the old worthies who wrote many years ago, used to call the book of James an epistle of straw. No. In Romans, we have the root of the matter. In James, we have the fruit. In Romans, we stand before God. Hence, we need faith. In James, we stand before men. Hence, we need works. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we see the ungodly saved. In James chapter 2, we see the godly man tested. In one, you have faith alone, and in the other, you have faith, the works of faith. For example, Romans is dealing with Genesis 15, 6, when God said to Abraham, behold, the stars of heaven, so shall your seed be. And it was counted to him for righteousness. But in James, James says, you see how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, when he offered up Isaac his son. So you see, in Romans you have Genesis 15 before us, and in the book of James you have Genesis chapter 22 before us, when he offered up his son Isaac. And by the way, lest someone misunderstand me, may I say this? Even in the book of James, he is not talking about works of the law or works of the flesh. He's talking about the works of faith. I can't see your faith. God sees my faith. God sees your faith, whether you're real or not. All I can go by is your works. If I do not see the works of faith in your life, and by that I do not mean that you're going to go out and perform miracles, the life of faith is a life of walking in fellowship with God. If I do not see any manifestation of a godly life in you, And someone asks me, are you a Christian? I say, I don't know. He may be, but I don't know. He says he is, but I don't know, because I do not see the works of faith evident in his life. But when I see one who is walking before God and seeking to please God, and you ask me, is that fellow saved? I say, why, sure. I see his faith manifested by his works. In the book of Romans, let me repeat it again. In Romans, we have what God sees. In the book of James, we have what man sees. James says, for example, you see, not God, you. You see how Abraham was justified by works when he offered up Isaac. And you want to make that very clear to your heart. And what did Abraham have in the flesh? Nothing at all. I repeat it again, no works of man can stand before God. Abraham was justified by faith, and he has nothing to glory before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. You see, the key of this passage is he stood before God. And here you have works and grace contrasted. Abraham just did one thing. He believed God. When was he justified? When he believed God. Not when he worked, but when he believed God. That's what the question is in verses 4 and 5. The question is raised, when was he justified? For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him, counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now we're going to narrow it down a little wee bit. When was Abraham justified? Before he was circumcised. What kind of a man was Abraham when God called him? Well, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 2 and 14, I read, Joshua was telling the people of Israel as they entered the land of Canaan that their forefathers were idolaters in Ur of the Chaldees. And who came out of Ur of the Chaldees but Abram? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, the first two verses where God says, look to the pit from which you were digged. I called your father Abraham when he was alone, when he was just one. And you remember in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, we read that the God of glory appeared unto Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and said, get out. And he got out. And will you notice, please, in the first few chapters of Abram's life, there is no record, nothing is said about justification before God until he believed God when he said, your seed shall be as the stars of the heavens for multitude. And he narrows it down in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 16, where we read, he said, not to Abraham as of many seeds, but of one seed, which is Christ. And when his faith was coupled with the heavenly seed, he was counted righteous. Now, I meet a great many people today. It may be I'm talking to some of you. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I've always believed in God. I believe in there's a creator. I'm not a pagan. I'm not a heathen. I'm not an atheist. I really believe there is a God. Did not God create all things? I believe in God. My friend, you can't stand before God acceptable on that ground. You're not justified before God until you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. If you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, you remember Cornelius, the Roman centurion, the Roman officer of the army. He was a good man. He did a lot of good things. And he said, thine arms have come up for a memorial before God. But he wasn't a Christian. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he was a real Jew. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He He was not a liberal. He was a conservative in theology. And concerning zeal for God, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which was in the law, he was blameless, and yet he was not saved. A person can be a moralist and a religionist and not be saved, not be fitted for God's presence. There must be relationship to God's precious Son. It was Jesus Christ who satisfied the character of God for you and for me. It was Jesus Christ who removed the barrier between God and you and God and me. He removed the barrier of sin. That's why he died. And his resurrection is a guarantee that he not only put away your sin, but he absolutely satisfied the character of God. So that when God comes to us and brings us good news that Christ died for us and made the provision whereby you and I, by faith in Jesus Christ, can stand in the presence of God in all the righteousness and beauty of Christ. You see, what you have here in verses 4 and 5 is the principle of works and the principle of grace. One is an obligation, a debt. The other is of grace and of kindness, of unmerited favor. You have the working method versus the believing method. I say, what would heaven be like if every man got to heaven on his own works and God would have no glory at all? We'd be boasting about what we have done. And instead of God being exalted, we would have exalted ourselves. No, my friend. There must be a definite pay for a definite work. Or you've got to accept the grace of God to the undeserving. And we find here in verse 4 and verse 5, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You work for a man, and he pays you your wages. It's not a gift, it's a debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, not his works. His faith. It was the faith of the ungodly man that was counted for righteousness. God's very righteousness reaches right down to believe to men, whatever state they're in, if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not changing an ungodly man to a godly man who will believe. No. It's the ungodly man who believes and becomes a godly man, not the other way around. People say, "Why, if I were only better." No, no. God doesn't say, when you get better and then believe, I'll save you. You've got to be saved first and then you'll be better. Let's put this thing straight. It's by faith, A-L-O-N-E. Not faith plus anything else, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, my friend, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse in Titus 2:11, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, and he goes on to speak of it. Or Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if anybody is fitted for the presence of God, they must come by simple faith and take Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Am I talking to you today in your home, in your kitchen, in your car, in your shop, in your office, wherever you are? And you've been trying very, very hard. You've been trying your best to fit yourself to stand before God acceptably. Listen, friend, you'll never do it. If you lived to be 1,000 years, you couldn't do it. God has no confidence in anybody's flesh, neither yours nor mine. And if you and I are going to be able to stand before God in the righteousness that will match his righteousness, if I can use that term, then you've got to come the faith way. Not faith plus works, not works plus faith, but faith, A-L-O-N-E. Now we follow along in the next division in Romans chapter 4, and he amplifies this. So you watch it, read it through, and the Lord bless you today.